Important number one for classic radio listening. Airchecks.com.
The Mark and Brian program, 21 minutes after 8 o'clock. We have been told that we're ready to go out to the fun zone to see if all this technical wizardry will be competent enough to get us through. And we just know it will.
Is that what that's called?
Hello, everyone.
Is that Gary out there?
Hey.
Hi, Gary.
Hey. Gary, can they hear us?
Yes, they can hear you. Can you hear them?
Wow.
Hey, gang. Gary, have we got a mic on that crowd?
Yeah, we got a couple of them, but they aren't pointed yet because we've been a little busy hooking guitars up.
And we're not bitching.
All right.
Gary, they have a little latitude there.
Do they hear us in the...
They hear us as you're talking.
Okay. All right, let's hear all of the acoustic guitars do what you've done so far.
All right, so we've got a flood of them out here. They're all sort of standing around listening and getting ready. We've got 15 engineers here with consoles.
Are you guys ready?
15 engineers with consoles, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, on the count of three to the acoustic guitars, do your thing. One, two, three.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be bitching. Okay, now can we hear the electric guitars, Gary?
Pete's here.
Okay, the electric guitars.
Hey! Pete's here. Hey!
Woo! We're doing a sound check outside right now with all the guitars.
We can't hear you.
Somebody sounds good.
That's enough. Stop.
All right, sounds like it's all hooked up, ready to go.
Stop.
Well, somebody's getting fancy.
All right, Pete.
Okay,
my big break. Pete Townsend just did walk in the studio, and sir, welcome to the show.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Did you see the stuff that's going on out there when you came in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a Sesame Street event.
Which is what we've been calling it.
How was vacation? Was it good?
Yeah, it was great.
Enjoyed?
Yeah.
And a spot where there are no phones and you could not be bothered.
That's right. I'd actually tried to make a few calls when I was there. It's a bit difficult.
When there's no phone?
I got caught in fog as well.
That's why you went there.
Yeah.
No phones, no TV.
Get a fog burn.
And boy, when you come back from vacation, you come back. This is the first thing you're involved in, and there's all kinds of other crap going on. Takes a while to slide back in.
You know, I could only really do this today. Once I've done a concert tomorrow, I won't be able to get up this early in the morning.
Makes
you know,
tough.
When I've just come from England, this is now 4 o'clock in the afternoon for me, so I'm okay.
So you're on vacation, and there's no phones, no TV. You're out there secluded. Do you look forward eventually getting back to it?
Yeah, I have been. I've really I only did 5 shows on the first leg of the first tour,
mm-hmm.
East Coast, and the first 4 were very good, and I just got wiped out for the last one.
You know,
so I'm looking forward to getting back and putting the record straight.
We sampled the album, Psychoderelict, and it is most interesting. And the music is really good. And then, of course, the storyline that follows is just so unique and different. And it sounds like for those who like to sit down and experience a presentation of music, this is going to be an extra cool angle for them.
Yeah, I hope so. It's a difficult record for radio, though.
Well, is there going to be some sort of a Broadway show come with this? Do you see it happening?
So. No.
At this point, what if
we ask you tomorrow?
I don't think it. You know, it's a very simple story. It's got some shades to it, but it's a simple story. It's meant to be fairly easy to get into, and yet a lot of people are finding it very difficult to get into. I mean, I think it's rather like a comic book,
mm-hmm.
And I think maybe the thing about it is that it's actually a bit too simple. In other words, a lot of people imagine that there's more there than there really is, mm-hmm. And I think that it's just a bunch of comic book images to go with the record, and the songs are where I'm looking to kind of get deep emotions across, you know.
Well, there's also some bitchin' dance music in here.
good. Yeah.
Now, when you're and especially you know, a lot of people, they write songs to song, and each one is its own entity. But this particular project here, how did you go about preparing it? Did you have the story in mind, the music in mind, and how did you go about putting those two together?
Well, I had the songs first, and then I felt that the songs weren't arriving properly. I thought I had a couple of fair radio records, but I wasn't really sure about the album as a whole. And then I had on this island that I've just come from, I had a biking accident on a pedal bike, and I smashed my wrist up. This was in the middle of 1991. I was about to deliver the record, and that kept me off the street for 18 months, you know, doing physio, what they call a collis fracture, where your whole wrist gets smashed up. And I spent that time thinking about what I would do, and then I decided that it would be good to do a story, because I'm actually very into concept stuff, as I'm sure you've gathered. That's what I like to do. You know, songwriting's never really been enough.
You're kind of hard on yourself. Got your hand speared by a Wawa bar?
Yeah, I think I must be the only person in history to have done that. So I
remember when the news came down.
For my Guinness Book of Records entry on that.
Well, if you're going to pick a guitar player to do that, it'd be you, the way you jam on the windmill thing.
Yeah,
it was Eric Clapton's guitar, was it?
It was an Eric Clapton model Stratocaster. Uh-huh. Fender do this really good guitar, which they made for him, which I used on that tour. But currently I'm not using a whammy bar. It was very weird because I didn't know I'd done it, and I picked my hand up to see what the pain was, and the guitar was hanging.
It went through the palm.
Went right through the palm, yeah.
Dude.
And you didn't feel it when it happened?
Oh, I did, yeah.
I see. Yeah, that hurts. I know that pain.
You know, the audience is going, "Hey, nice effect! How'd he do that?"
I hope this is decorating your drive to work, folks.
That was hanging from my palm.
When you are writing and you have a definite way you want it to sound in your head, is it difficult to make that happen when you go into the studio and make it just like you like it?
I heard Phil Collins on the plane coming over doing one of those plane shows, and he was saying that it just happens, and I think it does for me too. I think that I just go into a studio and I just knock around a few ideas. I go in with sheets of paper and chords and stuff. But interesting thing about doing this piece, Psychedelics, is a couple of times I've played it. This is not my favourite word. I've played it unplugged. I did it in London to the press without the band, and I'm doing it again in a minor way for a benefit for La Jolla Playhouse. They're the people that kicked Tommy off up in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about the songs is that they're very, very simple. They're just kind of three chord songs, really, my generation three chords. And I think I have fallen into a very simple form of songwriting, where the lyrics are very, very, the words are very wordy, complicated, tumbling, you know. I hesitate to say poetic because it's obviously not poetry, but certainly lots and lots of tumbling images, but with the music getting simpler and simpler and simpler.
But, you know, when listening, and we just sampled this a couple of breaks ago, everybody who writes music and performs music, they all deal with the exact same amount of notes, and they all have the same kind of thing to deal with, yet this one seemed, though you say it's simple, it seemed fuller and unusually different in a real cool kind of dancey way.
Oh, I'm glad. I mean, I've tried to make the record an interesting musical thing, as well as being a novelty. But it has been difficult dealing with how much of a novelty the record has become because it's got talking on it. Yeah. You know, a lot of reviews that I've had of it's like, you know, oh shut up, Pete. You know, just get on with it. You know, just make the music because that's what we want you to do. And I think it's been quite sobering in a way to realise that you know, of course, the music is enough. I know the music is enough, but you know, what I need is just something to propel me, you know, and get me inspired and get me interested in what I'm doing.
So you won a Tony Award this year for the Broadway production of Tommy. How were you there every day for the initial rehearsals?
Pretty much. Yeah, I went a lot. There was a lot of time that I wasn't there every day, because I was making this record and finishing it off. Mm-hmm.
But you're there, is it?
I cast it. You know, I wrote the book with Des McAnuff. I was always also nominated as a playwright for anybody that dares to
Isn't
say
that amazing?
That I'm not a playwright.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Was it frustrating for you some days to be there and not getting what you wanted out of it?
No, it was exactly the opposite. It was absolutely wonderful to Great. Watch other people working with, and I could just drink coffee and make notes And also, you know, when you're actually in a Broadway show, you have to sing and you have to dance and you have to work out every day. It's a long 12-hour day. And then when their show mounts, they're doing 9 shows a week. And they have no social life. They have Sundays off, I suppose, but that's it. And I just couldn't do that. Yeah. As I said, I did 5 shows in a row, you know, with quite long gaps in between on the first leg. And I was beaten up by Chicago, which was the last one. I was really... suddenly realized, hey, you know, you really have to be fit to do rock and roll. You really do.
In your in the bio information we got, it talked about the time that you went to see Les Miserables, and that it was a fairly large event for you, and that you had a lot of mixed feelings about what you saw and the music that was in your head. What all went on with that?
Well, I don't know. It's difficult to talk to, you know, what I'm sure out there is predominantly a rock audience, and I don't know whether they've actually even been to see a Broadway show or equivalent of it, but, you know, they're very austere affairs in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with strings in the pit and people wearing fancy clothes and fairly ornate theatres and stuff, and that tends to kind of overwhelm and suffocate, and I think that's what keeps a lot of people that have been brought up on rock music and rock radio out of the theatre. They're happy in the cinema, but they don't really want to go to theatres. And what was interesting for me about Les Miserables was is that I liked the show. I liked what I could see. It reminded me of a lot of the techniques that were being used, a lot of the techniques that seemed to me to be coming into rock theatre. You know, particularly today, I read reviews of Peter Gabriel's new show, mm-hmm. which is like a theatre production, and we all know about U2's big thing, which they've now adapted for Europe. It's called Europa, isn't it? Zooropa. Mm-hmm. And they're
David
all very
Bowie
kind of.
Did something like
that's
that,
right. Yeah. Well, I think David's thing was sort of the least successful of all because he put it into too big a place without the. And I think technology has caught up.
Yeah.
And what Tommy benefits from really is the power of the computer these days. There's a lot of moving scenery, a lot of complex light cues, a lot of things changing all the time. It's a very, very fast-moving show. And it's the fact that the computers can handle it that makes it work. You know, if we'd have tried to mount this show 3 years ago, we couldn't have done it because the computer processes would not have been fast enough. I mean, I know that sounds absurd.
Do you enjoy the technical aspect of putting a show together?
Yeah, the designer of Tommy, this guy John Anone, is a brilliant guy, and this is his first Tony, so he's very proud. And it's quite a because this show has got a tour. It starts touring in September. It's going to come to LA.
A question you've been asked a million times. What did you think of the movie in 75?
My new album, Psychedelict.
That's enough for us.
No, I had a good time making it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult dealing with other people's feelings about it. It's very difficult dealing with anything. You know, when you get to be my age and I've been associated with, because The Who haven't been around for a long time, haven't been working actively for a long time, but when you've been around this long, what actually happens is you tend to be hauling a lot of memories around, which are not your memories, they're other people's memories. And
that you're just a part of.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to be careful what I say about the Tommy movie, because sometimes people get very offended if I say that it was anything wrong with it at all because they loved it. And other times, if I say there's anything good about it, they scream because they think it was an aberration of a classic work, you know.
All right, we need to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation. About 9 o'clock, we're going to run out to the parking lot, the Fun Zone, where there are many people with their guitars ready to be able to say they played with Pete Townsend.
It's going to blow me away.
So,
you know, and not to stroke your ego, but you have to know how cool this is for these people out there to that they actually strummed along with you.
I'm glad.
This is a very special moment for them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
All right, we'll do biz and come back with Pete Townsend on the Mark and Brian program after these.
You can call now to make your appointment for our 12th annual 95.5 KLOS Blood Drive happening this Monday, August 2nd through Saturday, August 7th.
Radio, the way it used to be.
Your number one for classic radio listening. Airchecks.com.